Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Jakari Jackson. It's April 15th, 2015, and here's a look at our top stories.
Tonight, are the feds attempting to control the market by drying up ammo supplies? Well, in addition to billions of bullets previously bought by the federal government, the DHS now plans to purchase 62 million more rounds of AR-15 ammo. Plus, Eddie Craig in studio, and he's going to teach you how to keep your ass out of jail. That's coming up next, the InfoWars Nightly News.
That's right, it is tax day, April 15th. And I'm wondering if you're like me and you had to pay your extortion fees to the private-run Federal Reserve. And you're talking about, what are you talking about? Private-run Federal Reserve. Well, you can go to YouTube.com, the Alex Jones channel, and see It's a Wonderful Lie, the history of the Federal Reserve. Now, let's talk about the history of our border and the history of us funding our opposition such as Al-Qaeda, such as ISIS. And right now, Joe Biggs and Josh Owens are down there on the border, going down to Mexico, trying to find out what's going on with these ISIS rebels that apparently have a base right there in Mexico. So whether it takes planes, trains, automobiles, they are determined to get to the bottom of this. And you guys can stay tuned to InfoWars.com, also the Alex Jones channel on YouTube, and we'll bring you the latest updates as more come available. An update in a story that I guess they've been covering this since before I got here back in 2012, DHS and the bullets. The bullet scandal has been on Fox News. It's been all over. Many people have tried to debunk this, saying that maybe this 1,000 bullets didn't happen, or maybe this 500. Maybe there's a misstep here or there, but by and large, I believe the count that DHS has is well over 2 billion bullets. And now we have the article, 62 million more rounds of AR-15 ammo. A posting on fezbizops.gov this week reveals that DHS is looking to contract with a company to provide 12.6 million rounds of .223 Remington ammunition, that's AR-15, for the period of 5 years, totaling 62.5 million bullets. And also on the site, we have a purchase order so people can see that for themselves and know that we're not blowing smoke. Now, I want to go down to the graph here and show people the list of all the bullet purchases that we know about starting in April of 2012. And from April 2012 to February 2013, there was over, what's that, 2 billion right there of various calibers. And then you go down the list, you have DHS, over 300,000 bullets of 40 caliber Smith & Wesson. You also have some AK-47 rounds. That's a 7.6 by 39 round, which the U.S. Army doesn't use. But for some reason, the U.S. Army decided to go buy that round. So I'm not exactly sure what these guys are planning, but it's very interesting to note how they are racking up these huge number of bullets. Furthermore, U.S. soldiers were shooting around 5.5 million rounds of ammunition per month during the war in Iraq, or 66 million rounds annually. So you total that up, that's how much these guys are using in an active war scenario. But now you need all these mass purchases of bullets for DHS. And I'm like, what do you guys need all these bullets for? Meanwhile, you, the normal citizen, if you want to go buy a box of, or maybe more than a box of shotgun shells or .223 rounds for yourself, and you say, hey, I want to buy in bulk like DHS does so I can get a discount, they want you to fill out a paperwork. They want to put you on some background check system. We need to know how many rounds of bullets that you're buying and what your purposes are for buying said bullets. Like, well, why don't you tell me why you need all these bullets if you want to come and crack down on me? So we'll keep you up to date on this, and good job to Paul Joseph Watson. He's been covering this since, 2012, and now we have 2 billion or so bullets. So it's a whole lot right there. And speaking of a man who caught a bullet recently, I've seen a lot of police shootings, did a lot of reports on this. And recently there's a guy who was stopped by police, and the officer said, hey, I need to see your license and registration. The man says, no problem, officer. I will retrieve said documents. He goes and reaches for them, and then the police shoot him in the stomach.
I see your license, please.
And this is one LeVar Jones of South Carolina. He was shot in the stomach for the accursed seatbelt violation. Plenty of hostile criminal activity right there. But the cop was sacked and charged with felony assault and faces a maximum of 20 years in prison if he is found guilty. And this is happening more and more. It happened last year here in the city of Austin. Luckily, the guy didn't get shot, or I'm pretty sure he didn't die. I'd have to double check that, but I don't think the guy died. But basically, he was pulled over. He's retrieving his license and registration, as they often request you to do. And the officer shoots at the guy. He's like, oh, he had something in his hand. He had his wallet that had his license and registration. And to talk more about this, coming up at the end of the show, backed by popular demand, Eddie Craig. He's going to tell you what you need to do when you encounter the police in a police stop. He actually has a script that will keep your behind out of jail and hopefully will get you home without a bullet in your physique. So we'll move on to other things now. Small helicopter lands on west front of U.S. Capitol, pilot arrested. And this is a gentleman, he wanted to bring attention to campaign finance reform. So he decided to load up his little, I guess you call that a gyrocopter. I didn't even know those things were real. I saw them in movies, but I guess they are actual and functional. So he went into a no-fly zone. He was going to drop off some letters to his elected representatives. And once he'd hit the ground, they arrested the guy, sent the bomb squad out there to look at his vehicle. So think about this. Hillary's doing pretty much the same thing this guy's doing, going around trying to educate people about finance reform. I don't really take her too seriously, but she's driving around in a mystery machine and eating Chipotle and, you know, having guys, well, I guess gay guys, bending over and grabbing their ankles for Hillary. I'm not making this up. You guys go find the article that Kit did just the other day on it. But I doubt she's going to come to the aid of this gentleman, this individual. And hey, you know, yeah, he entered a no-fly zone. And David Knight was just telling me a second ago, there's people on the big network, somebody, they should have shot this guy out the sky. They have anti-aircraft weapons and they should have killed. He could have been a terrorist. Okay, now with this security state, police state, surveillance state apparatus, the NSA does not have the proper information to predict an attack on their own building. The White House has had multiple people jump the fence, even get into the White House. You got guys flying around in their little gyroscopes, which I have no issue with this guy. Yeah, he broke a law, but so did Kokesh when he racked a shotgun. He was just trying to prove a point. So all this to say, for all this security stuff they have, it's just security theater. They don't really know. You got the Secret Service running around with the hookers and all kinds of silliness and things going on. So it's just security theater. It's just to make them feel safe and to take away your tax dollars while enslaving you and putting an oppressive government over you. And when I say oppressive government, I'm not talking about everybody in the government. Are there good people in the Border Patrol? Yes. Good people in FBI, good people in CIA, good people in Secret Service, whatever else going on and on. But you have enough people at the top who are trying to come down on you, trying to brainwash you into thinking about guns in a vastly different way while they give guns to Mexican drug cartels and then want to come and arrest you if you sell a shotgun outside of their jurisdiction. All types of silly things like that. But that's going on to a much broader topic than we have time for today. And we'll end with this before we go into more special reports. We also have a special report from Alex Jones' son, Rex, and also Rob Dew's son, Morgan, talking about how kids are not allowed to play outside, but we'll get to that after the break. But we'll go to break with this. Leaking of government officials' addresses accompanied by note warning of FEMA crackdown by NWO Satanists. That is quite the sensational headline, but it is all true. Material was apparently hacked from an unknown source, and the insinuation of right-wing extremists are to blame. So basically, somebody hacked into some classified records, got the information for people who work in DHS, FBI, whatever else, and now they're threatening these people. And as I was just saying a second ago, do I take exception to some of the vast overreaches and outright criminal activity by some of the people in these organizations? Yes. Do I want people to target them at their homes? Most definitely not. If they are doing criminal wrongdoing, they need to be brought into a court of law and held accountable for the actions in that setting. CBS News reports that the messages accompanying the material titled DHS, CIA, FBI, Traitors, Home Addresses states, let these evil NWO Satanists know that there will be hell to pay for their 9/11 treason and for their future FEMA camp planned public crackdown treason also. It says, Jesus is Lord, and the public is in charge, not these satanic NWO stooges. So let's stop right there and address this. These, I guess you would call them talking points, talking about all these Satanists and the FEMA crackdown. And I think of all the things that alternative media uses, all the phrases, I think FEMA camps are probably the worst one. Because people type in FEMA camps and they can't really find anything, or it's just some very disreputable people just spouting about information, as opposed to somebody asked me about FEMA camps, I direct them to things such as Rex 84, that is a plan for martial law in our country that will put people in FEMA camps. So there you go. That's a little tip for the day. Now let's talk about Reuters and USA Today, as well as other media outlets have picked up on the story. And they are reporting that the terms are being used and accompanied by data used by conspiracy theorists to refer to totalitarian world government, talking about the NWO. And while they would like you to very much believe that the NWO is the creation of Alex Jones or somebody around that type of genre, you can see videos, and we're about to play one for you right now, multiple politicians, including American presidents, heads of states, many other people as well, using the term New World Order, world government, the type of world government we would all like to achieve. I believe that's an exact quote from one Barack Hussein Obama. So while they're trying to tell you that New World Order has no basis in reality, it very much is a plan. I'm not saying it's fully enacted, but it's a plan that some people would like to see, including former President George Bush Sr. Let's go to the report now, then come back with more special reports.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
It is a big idea. A new world order. A world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
After 1989, President Bush said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, I think, only once, and hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order.
So that the problem of the Bush presidency will be the emergence of a new international order.
Within the next 4 years, we will see the emergence of a new international order.
The beginning of a new international order.
The pieces are in flux. Soon they will settle again. Before they do, let us reorder this world around us.
I think its task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't such a crisis.
It's about the future of Europe and a new world order.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
But today, with Asia already outproducing Europe, India and China are clearly becoming part of our new order.
We are now facing a common challenge. And the challenge is how to build a world order for the first time in history on a global basis.
So, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, a new world is emerging. It is a new world order with significantly different and radically new challenges.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
Good evening, everybody. President Obama and British Prime Minister Gordon today calling for a new world order to tackle our global economic crisis.
And the president outlined his vision of a new world order in which the U.S. would participate fully.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
So I see a world order in the future with a multipolar world order.
I think a new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation.
But in a globalized economy, we are going to have to take global responsibilities, and there is going to have to be some semblance of global governance.
Never before has a new world order had to be assembled from so many different perceptions or on so global a scale. Nor has any previous order had to combine the attributes of the historic balance of power system with global democratic opinion and the exploding technology of the contemporary period.
And I strongly believe India will be a central actor in the new world order.
There also exists an extraordinary opportunity to form, for the first time in history, a truly global society.
2009 is also the first year of global governance, with the establishment of the G20 in the middle of the financial crisis. The climate conference in Copenhagen is another step towards the global management of our planet.
New World Order is the headline in the Globe and Mail in Canada.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
Of course we are. We are absolutely slaves to central banks.
My name is Alex Jones. Most of you know me from my syndicated radio program and my documentary films, as well as InfoWars Nightly News. When I got on air 20 years ago, I had discovered the globalist program, their plan to take over the world, and my focus went from running 6 miles every other day, swimming 2-3 miles a couple times a week, and lifting weights to focusing on fighting the globalist. I've gone from 279 pounds all the way down to 235 pounds, and the weight's going off even faster. Super Male Vitality, Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, and Oxy Powder. Those three products of the entire family of InfoWarsLife.com products are the most important from my own personal experience.
And it wasn't just that my weight loss accelerated. My muscle mass increased. My stamina, my energy levels exploded. Now is the time to take action. Start your journey today with the Alex Challenge Pack. It's the trifecta of change. Secure yours today and get free shipping for a limited time at InfoWarsLife.com or 888-253-3139.
It's called an IMSI catcher, or stingray, a fake cell phone tower that sends your cell phone signal to it rather than a real cell phone tower, netting suspected criminals and innocents alike to pinpoint their location.
This is not about the content of people's communications or collecting every number that they dial, right? To me, it's about we are using some equipment, appropriately in my view, to find bad guys. I don't want to say too much about that because I don't want the bad guys to know. Right? How we might be able to find them. And so one of the reasons that we ask local authorities who are working with us and using our equipment not to talk about it. It's not because I got something to hide from good people. I got a lot to hide from bad people.
The FBI has bent over backwards to keep their public awareness secret. The provisions required by local and state police are straight out of a George Orwell novel. Police are not allowed to talk about the technology in press releases and court documents during judicial hearings or during other public forums or proceedings. If a district prosecutor intends to use details about how the Stingray works during a court case, police must alert the FBI in order to allow sufficient time for the FBI to intervene to protect the equipment, technology, and information from disclosure and potential compromise. If the agency receives a court order demanding release of the information, the agency must notify the FBI in order to allow sufficient time for the FBI to intervene. If the agency receives a FOIA request seeking information about the stingrays, it must alert the FBI to allow sufficient time for the FBI to seek to prevent disclosure through appropriate channels. A dystopian tug of war caused the FBI to have cases thrown out to protect the technology. 2012, Buffalo, New York, Judge Patrick H. Niemeyer detailed, against the FBI's orders, how a deal was struck between the FBI and the Erie County Sheriff's Office to drop criminal charges rather than reveal any information concerning the cell site simulator or its use. The record showed that of the 47 times the Sheriff's Office used stingrays in the past 4 years, it apparently only once obtained a court order, contradicting the Sheriff's own remarks. Stingrays are an advanced surveillance technology that can sweep up very private information, including information on innocent people, said NYCLU Western Region Director John Kerr III. If the FBI can command the Sheriff's Office to dismiss criminal cases to protect its secret stingrays, it is not clear how the $350,000 we are spending on stingray equipment is keeping the people of Buffalo safe.
They were more dedicated to the lawless
unconstitutional violation of civil liberties by spying on people without getting search warrants than they were to developing legitimate intelligence which would help secure our freedom or our safety.
These records confirm some of the very worst fears about local law enforcement's use of this expensive and intrusive surveillance equipment, said NYCLU staff attorney Mariko Hirose. Not only did the sheriff's office promise the FBI breathtaking secrecy to keep information about stingrays as hidden as possible, it implemented almost no privacy protections for the Erie County residents it is sworn to protect and serve. It was revealed last year that the federal government is using dirt box devices similar to the stingray device to collect data on the unsuspecting population. The ACLU has identified 50 agencies in 21 states and the District of Columbia that own stingrays.
Charlotte is one of the few cities that actually has stingrays, and we do see some pretty substantial Fourth Amendment concerns with stingrays. We know that they're collecting at least location information, but there could be more information that they're collecting. And I think that we really need to see, again, that warrant requirement.
In a letter to Homeland Security Chief Jay Johnson and Attorney General Eric Holder, Senators Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, and Patrick Leahy, Democrat of Vermont, expressed their concern that no search warrants are obtained when FBI agents use the devices in public. Police scanner audio obtained by the hacktivist group Anonymous appeared to reveal that the Chicago police were using a stingray to intercept phone calls from an Eric Garner protester. Police departments are now lobbying to get the more powerful $460,000 4G cell phone upgrade known as Hailstorm. Blocking the current 2G stingray technology requires you to find the device information in your phone known as WCDMA preferred. Change that to WCDMA only, and the stingray can't track you. It's open season on our privacy and Fourth Amendment rights, and we're all paying for it.
We have before us the opportunity to forge, for ourselves and for future generations, a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
John Bound for InfoWars.com.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts, fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. For a limited time, get 25% off on this introduction. Offer. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. AncientDefense.com.
Do you remember the good old days when you could have a lemonade stand without having a permit? Back when you could play with water guns and BB guns without being kicked out of school? A time before, you know, former surgeon generals wanted to teach your children how to masturbate. Well, those days are long gone because this is not the Twilight Zone, but this is the year 2015. And in the year 2015, if you want to build a box fort in your front yard, that's not okay. A Big Brother does not give you the approval to do such actions. And now our children are falling victim to this. And now we have Rex Jones and Morgan Dew, the children of Alex and Rob Dew, respectively, who are going to tell you what it's like to be a child in today's day and age.
Morgan, come over here. Check this out.
Look, I'm going to feed you some GMOs.
I am Janie. Man, look at all this cool stuff, man.
This is so
what
cool.
Do you think is cool? It's like, I like that over there, but that's okay.
Yeah. I like that thing.
Found it. We have found it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for even more war and even more taxes. Well, I'm the party for the people.
No, I'm the party for the people. For me!
Dick, what you were just watching was an example of kids running free and playing without any adult supervision. But what we have today is a now criminalized war on childhood. Now, to help you understand how vast the war on childhood really is, I have my friend here. His name is Morgan, and he's going to help me go over and explain some of the recent articles in the world today on how this is being implemented by governments worldwide. Morgan?
So, the first article we have is by Countercurrent News, and it's city forcing a family to destroy a completely awesome cardboard fort. This family in Utah, their dad made this cardboard fort, and then the city government comes and says, you have to tear this down. It's illegal.
And how fast was the notice?
He had it up, and then the city government came and said, you have 15 days to take this down or else. It actually says this right here.
But the city of Ogden has their own name for this curbside chateau.
That we had garbage in our yard. And specifically cited are a large pile of boxes.
This notice arrived from the city telling the Trentlemans to take the fort down or face a fine. If they fail to pay,
they can also file criminal charges against us and levy the fines as a lien against the house. So they're not playing.
So I would like to just explain like how awesome this looks. I mean, it's a castle. It's got trapdoors, slides. It's insanely awesome.
That's not really important to the American viewer, is it? Now, how dangerous was it? Did it have machine guns? Did it have anti-tank missiles? No. Did it have a flamethrower?
No.
That is terrifying. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a terror fort.
An Ogden family's outside of the box idea of fun has rallied support from around the world.
Messages from people in other countries and so forth starting, trying to support us and offering to pay the fines and all that kind of silliness.
The notice from the city of Ogden said the family had 15 days to clean this up. They have just over a week left and they plan to enjoy that time and let all the neighborhood kids play in it.
Here's what the father had to say. He said, I just thought it was an awesome way to use boxes in my kids' imagination.
Wait, hold up. Don't read anymore. Wait, did he just say thought in imagination?
Yes.
In America, you're not supposed to think anymore. I mean, we have McDonald's to do that for you.
I'm not loving it.
All jokes aside, it's not really funny. They're banning running in the UK. This article says, primary school bans children from running in the playground over health and safety fears. Now, I know this sounds insane, but it's actually going on. A primary school has banned children from running in the playground, it was claimed today. The school says children have been told to stop playing a particular chasing game. Ooh, I wonder if it was tag.
Well, they actually have banned tag in New Hampshire.
What?
Yes. The superintendent said that we cannot have any contact with other kids. No hugging, no tag, no anything. No handshakes, nothing.
That's right, Morgan. But they haven't just banned running. They've also banned balls. In New York, ball throwing has become a criminal activity, as this article claims. New York school bans balls at recess, cracks down on tag games over safety fears. Doesn't this sound like New Hampshire?
Yep.
Tossing a football during recess seemed to be a rite of passage for kids in this school community until now.
I think we need like our soccer balls, the footballs and everything, you know.
Students at Weber Middle School in Port Washington were just informed that during recess, football is out. Hard soccer balls have been banned, along with baseballs and lacrosse balls, even rough games of tag or cartwheels unless supervised by a coach.
A rash of playground injuries has prompted one Long Island, New York school to ban balls and to require teacher supervision for games like tag. Some of these injuries can unintentionally become very serious, so we want to make sure our children have fun but are also protected. Isn't that like oil and water?
I skin my knees up. I get hurt at recess. It's just part of being a kid. You get hurt. And New York and New Hampshire just don't want to face the truth. In the UK, they ban all those things because they don't want to get sued by parents and stuff.
Isn't it better that we're diabetic and obese?
Well, the New World Order does want us diabetic and obese.
It's not just running, tag, or ball that they're banning. They also want to ban child businesses, such as lemonade stands.
Yes, we have an article here. 6 illicit lemonade stands towns had to shut down, one of which is a little girl named Allie Thorne. Like a lot of kids, 6-year-old Allie Thorne wanted to make some money. She didn't have dreams of fancy cars, yachts, and place in the Hamptons. She just wanted to have enough money to buy stickers. Just a little bit of stickers.
Just a little bit of money, like $5. That's all she wanted.
To buy a few stickers. And the police came and shut her down.
This is just like I said in my last report, the war on entrepreneurs. The government, anytime they see any child acting out of the norm watching TV and getting fat on ice cream, they see it as an attack on them, and they make plans to shut it down fast. This is a war on childhood and a war on our basic freedoms that doesn't stop when you turn 18.
We didn't even have time to get to the stack of articles with people letting their grass grow and facing jail time and even having a vegetable garden.
But wait a second. I thought in World War II it was patriotic to grow vegetables.
Now for the real garden. When the maples are in bloom, it's time to begin planting. When the moisture is just right, the soil won't ball or be sticky. It holds its shape when pressed, but crumbles easily when broken. Then it's right for working and planting.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not. In World War II, they did want to have vegetables and growing your own food.
Well, I guess they wanted to be patriotic and strong as a nation.
Yep.
Well, now what do they want us to do? Are we supposed to grow Twinkies in our backyard?
Yes, we are. Before we end this report, I want to share one more article with you. It says, parents of free-range children held by Child Protective Services after being found wandering alone in a park were found guilty of neglect a month ago, but refused to change their ways. So basically, these kids were walking home from the park, and the police picked them up and called child services, and it turned into this whole big thing. And since the parents have refused to obey their government overlords, now the state has come in and, like, made it into an even bigger thing than it needs to be. It's just two kids walking home from a park, so. And maybe that's why Judge Report has just reported that kids are more stressed out than adults. Just remember, parents, we're kids, and we like to be free and independent. Well, most of us do. And don't forget, don't inject us with vaccines.
I think we've basically covered the war on childhood and freedom today. But it doesn't stop here. Go on Infowars.com to learn more. This is my friend Morgan. We're going to see some more of him in our new report that's coming up, Democrats versus Republicans.
Stop the war on childhood now!
Go to Infowars.com.
And a great job there by those two young reporters. Well, that's going to be it for my portion of the news. But when we come back after this break, back by popular demand, Eddie Craig. He's going to tell you what you need to do when you encounter the police and the steps you need to take to keep yourself out of jail.
Another major health threat, this one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
InfoWars Life and InfoWarsLife.com is extremely excited to announce our latest release, Winter Sun, a revolutionary type of vitamin D3. Winter Sun is a premium quality vitamin D3 nutritional supplement. It is produced by extracting oil from healthy, nutrient-dense plants known as lichens. Every batch is analyzed for purity and D3 content. It's completely free of toxins and allergens. Simply put, if you want the best at an extremely low price, this is it. Winter Sun is the result of our pursuit of the best source of vitamin D3. The research and development took over 2 years, but the result, as verified by independent laboratories, is the best vegan vitamin D3 product in the world. Read the facts at InfoWarsLife.com about Winter Sun vitamin D3. Not only does vitamin D3 promote a healthy mood, but vitamin D supports our memory and brain function, something the globalists are targeting. Visit InfoWars.com today or call 888-253-3139.
Hello, folks. My name is Eddie Craig. I am from Rule of Law Radio. You can listen to our show on LogosRadioNetwork.com on Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. I have been asked back to make a short presentation over the do's and don'ts of traffic stops as they exist here in Texas, but will generally apply across the nation. So please bear with me as I go through this. I'll try to keep it short and sweet and to the point. Now, for those of you that have gone to the LogosRadioNetwork.com/TAO address and downloaded the script, you'll be able to follow along with this. If not, you can go there and get it. We're going to cover first the do's and don'ts. First, do remember that in Texas, an officer is required to read you your rights before questioning or searching you if they have placed you in a custodial arrest. Now, what they won't tell you and what the court has ruled here in Texas in the case of Aziz v. State in 2008 is that in Texas, in a transportation stop, you are always in a custodial arrest. No matter what the officer tells you about a lawful detention, you are in a custodial arrest. Now, that is why they are required, before searching and retrieving information from you, to advise you of your rights under 38.22 of the Code of Criminal Procedure. They never do this. The other part of it is you'd be waiving specific protected rights by giving them information, one of those being your right to remain silent. So please, when you go through this script, understand that there is a legal reason for everything it says to do or don't do. Now, be aware that they almost never read you your rights, and anything you incriminating you that you say, they can use against you because it will be considered to be a voluntary statement on your part. So please be careful about waiving that right and providing them with information. Now, don't ever answer the officer's questions like, where you been, where you going, how many drinks you had, what have you been doing, and so on and so forth. That's none of their business. It has nothing to do with their investigation. These are setup questions intended to escalate this at the very first opportunity to what every basic transportation stop is meant and trained to be escalated into, and that is a DUI or drug bust. This is where their money and their ability to prosecute truly lies, and that's what they want. And that is what helps them get their promotions and their federal funding, is to make those type of busts. So you are being played when these types of questions are being asked. Don't fall for it. Now, in relation to that, you have that right to remain silent. By answering those questions, you are waiving that right. So let's not do that. The other thing you want to make sure you do is remember to roll up all of your windows and to lock your doors as you're getting pulled over, not after the fact when the officer's walking up to the car. You want to do it before you actually come to a stop. First, you roll your windows down just in case, make sure the car's completely aired out. And then you roll everything up except for your window, and then when all those are up, roll your window up till it's about 2 to 2.5 inches and no more. The officer has no lawful authority to force you to roll it all the way down. No law compels you to do that, therefore no law gives him lawful authority to demand that. He will accuse you of not following a lawful order. He may even attempt to charge you with that, but that charge is false and fictitious. There's no law requiring you to do it, therefore there is no law on which to base the presumption of it being a lawful order. Now, Don't open your windows. Don't unlock your doors. Don't get out of your car. Just don't do it. This allows them to intimidate you in other ways that you will not be comfortable with and you don't want. So please, stay in your car. Stay where it's safe, no matter what they tell you, because they don't have a lawful authority to order you out of your car in a transportation stop like they would if it was a DUI or a drug bust. And the whole purpose of this small portion of the window being open is to minimize their ability to make the accusations for either, as we will see. Now, that's why we don't ever roll down more than one window at a time. If an officer on the other side starts knocking on the window and telling somebody to roll it down, tell them not to do so. You don't want to create a cross draft inside that car that allows them to come up with the scenario of, I smell something because air was pushing through your car from the other open window. So just don't do it. Don't ever provide an officer with any documents or other information that they demand. And as you saw in the presentation I made last week on the interview with Jakari, the problem there is by production of those documents, one, it's a voluntary statement. Two, those documents, even unbeknownst to you, can potentially incriminate you in other ways and be used against you in a court of law to prosecute you. They cannot compel you to waive a protected right to exercise a privilege, nor can they statutorily create the requirement that you waive the right to comply with the statute. Those are forbidden, and there's lots of case law that says it's forbidden. So we're just not going to play their game with them in that and waive our rights just because they're demanding it. They will attempt to charge you for it, which, as I also covered, is in of itself a violation of your rights to criminalize the invocation and exercise of a protected right. Your right to remain silent covers both production of documents and verbal and written statements. You don't have to produce anything that they can use against you. And since you are not an attorney, you cannot make the presumption that what you're being required to produce can't be used against you. You see how this works? Without that assistance of counsel, those decisions can't be made by you, shouldn't be made by you. So don't waive your right and produce. Even if you get assistance of counsel, make sure your counsel understands what rights they're trying to tell you it's okay to waive, because that's what they're doing. Now, don't ever give your consent to an officer to search your car for any reason, no matter how kindly and nicely they ask, no matter whether or not you think you have anything to hide. As I said in the original presentation I did on this subject, you don't know what one of your the people that you had in your car before, friend, family, stranger, whatever, may have left behind in your car. You don't know. Unless you clean it on a regular basis, both underneath the carpet and everywhere else, you don't know what could be in that car that could be used against you. You don't know what that officer's intentions are. He could be short on his DUI bus or drug bus for the month. He could be planning paraphernalia while he's searching your car. Next thing you know, you've got a drug possession or paraphernalia charge to fight against. Don't consent to warrantless searches. Just don't do it. Now, officers will almost always insist that you are not under a custodial arrest, but rather are simply being detained or are part of an investigative detention. That's a lie, folks. I just did a write-up on a video from Rome, Texas, where two cops were harassing this lady and her son. I dissected that video minute by minute, and both sides made their very big mistakes. The ones the officers made, however, are much worse simply because their mistakes resulted in a violation of rights, misrepresentation of the law. Basically, they're once again lying to members of the public to further their own ends. Folks, that's got to stop. We can't let them continue to get away with this. We just can't. So, when they tell you you're in a detention, you are not. In Texas, you are in a custodial arrest. In almost every state, you're going to be in a custodial arrest. You will need to research the statutes and the case law there to see if that determination holds true in your particular state, but here it does. That is where 3802 of the Penal Code comes in, where they attempt to threaten you with failure to identify because you won't produce a driver's license or something of that nature. As I covered in the presentation last week, Failure to identify does not require physical production of any form of ID. It only requires production of three specific pieces of information: name, address, and date of birth. That's all. Do not go beyond that. Now, right here, you will see a basic breakdown, a graphic representation of the way the courts have ruled a determination of a custodial arrest is to be made. As you can see, custody is equal to custodial arrest or functional equivalent of a custodial arrest. Then we have functional equivalent of a custodial arrest is equal to a reasonable person considering the totality of the circumstances who would believe that he or she is in police custody to such a degree associated with a formal arrest. In other words, officer, am I under arrest? No. Well, am I free to go? No. You cannot get the same answer to both of those questions. If you're not free to go, you're arrested, and you have the right to presume that is the case. Custodial detention, no such thing. It's a custodial arrest. Investigative detention, you're not allowed to leave. You can make the presumption that you are under custodial arrest, but until the officer actually tells you you are under arrest, you are actually under no legal obligation to comply with 38.22 of the Penal Code on failure to identify. You cannot provide false information to the officer under a detention or a custodial arrest, but you are not obligated under a detention to provide them with any information, even your name, address, and date of birth. All right, as you can see, once the interrogation begins about producing your information and your decision not to do so, all right, and why, all we do in this script, as I've said before, is to protect our rights. We don't get aggravated. We don't lose our temper. We don't shout. We don't attempt to educate the officer or school him on his job. We simply protect our rights. Invoke, demand, protect. That's the rule. Anything coming out of your mouth that isn't doing one of those three things is the wrong thing. Now, be certain to keep your face as far away from the window opening as possible while sitting normally in your car. Never speak directly into the officer's face or into the opening. Why? Because that gives them the opportunity to say they smell something on your breath like alcohol, even if they don't. Same thing dealing with the interior of your car. If they can stick their face halfway into your car, they can say, "Oh, I smell marijuana. Get out of the car." Now, an officer's sense of smell is not admissible evidence in court, but the courts have allowed them, despite the fact that they're running their job with a head cold today and couldn't possibly smell burning cabbage under it, the point being that they will make it up. So don't give them the opportunity. I have helped somebody while on the phone numerous times, and I have had officers pull this little stunt right here. The officer will say something resembling, "Sir or ma'am, I smell alcohol or marijuana, and I'm going to have to ask you to step out of your car." Don't fall for that. The moment those words come out of their mouth, and you need to be expecting them because, like I said, they are here to escalate this from a traffic stop to a DUI or drug bust, and this is one of their major tools for doing that. Even if they find nothing, they've still managed to search your car without a warrant, get you out of it, force you into a field sobriety test, and if you refuse, they're now going to attempt to punish you by administratively depriving you of a license, if you have one, and so on and so forth. This is all to compound the problems you're going to go through, not them. And if you let them do it, they will get away with it. So the moment the officer says something to that, or they ask you some question like, "Are you aware that you allegedly did something and I'm going to have to ask you to step out of the vehicle?" Rest assured, they're lying. And if they're not, well, then you didn't follow the other instructions I gave a few moments ago. When they say anything of that nature, you specifically reply in this way: "Officer," and if you know their name and badge number, recite it, "your statement is patently false and an outright lie. Are you now trying to fabricate probable cause by making false statements into the record and false allegations against me?" Now remember, they're recording this. You better be recording it too. And they're going to understand that you just caught them red-handed trying to make this escalation. That's going to be on their video. And if you manage to get this out articulately, they're not going to have any basis for saying you're under the influence, because someone under the influence is going to trip all over this trying to make this statement. Now, if you are under the influence, not a lot of them will be able to do for you in that regard. Your best bet is to just shut up. And remember, that's the other three rules if you're not invoking, demanding, and protecting. Shut up, keep shutting up, and shut up some more. All right? So, they can threaten you with canine units and all this stuff, but the problem is, until they actually have probable cause to summon that canine unit, it's now a false imprisonment. It's gone from an unlawful detention to a straight-up false imprisonment, because the courts have already said that they cannot hold you any longer than it takes to complete the actions for the original purpose of the stop. And they've given an approximate figure, though not an exact, of about 20 minutes to complete a standardized traffic stop. Now, of course, that is considering that the person complies in every way with everything they demand. Once you start standing up for your rights, the length of that stop is going to get extended considerably, because the officer doesn't like it when you stand up for your rights. He doesn't want you standing up for your rights, because that deprives him of his ability to complete the job and go generate revenue somewhere else, or to go get another escalated case in progress so he can get his arrest up. So people, the script was written to protect you. Everything in it is based upon existing case law and the controlling case law on each and every aspect of what we do. You will see lots of people online knocking the script and saying, yeah, pull this in my state and you're going to get tased or you're going to get shot. Folks, the way the cops are today, that's liable to happen over the fact that you rolled your window down in the first place. You just don't know. So why would you give up your rights just to feel a little safe? I believe Benjamin Franklin said that he who is willing to do that doesn't deserve to be safe or free. Okay, I'm paraphrasing it, of course, but you get the idea. If you're willing to give up your rights for safety and security, you will lose both and deserve neither, is what he said. So, folks, please pay attention to these things in the script. They are written and designed to protect you. Thanks for listening, and I hope that this information is useful to you. We have had success from lots of people all across the U.S. with it, and some that not so much because they didn't practice it. But if you internalize this information and you get able to recite it as needed, it will serve you well. So thank you all for listening, and thanks for letting me be back.
Used since before the days of the Roman Empire to support the body's natural systems and enhance overall health. Introducing the new InfoWarsLife.com oil of oregano formulation, a highly advanced nutraceutical form of this key herb that has been traditionally used by civilizations for thousands of years to promote health. We have now procured the most high quality and potent forms of oregano oil on the market, sourced from top leading manufacturers to ensure a concentrated level of bioactive ingredients. Extracted directly from the wild herb and sealed in easy-to-use capsules, you will no longer need to endure the burning of liquid oregano on the tongue. Wild-crafted from the Mediterranean oregano species that experts agree is one of the most powerful and most challenging to acquire. This winter season, it's more important than ever to secure this true form of oil of oregano. Now available in our limited first run at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.